ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
हरे कृष्ण। लास्ट वीक वी कुड नॉट रिवाइज सक्सेसफुल विजय प्रभु आचार्य लास्ट वीक, सो यू आर स्टिल रिमेम्बर व्हाट वी डिस्कस्ड अबाउट सेक्शन नंबर 27, 28 एंड 9:30। Some of you may please try to recollect, because 30th verse was one of the most important verses. We will begin with whom? Who would like to begin? That we were discussing in the Shloka Prakriti Priyamanani Vinay, from there we began, isn't it? Maybe it will be difficult to recollect everything, at least about the last shloka, 30th shloka, which is revised. Mayi sarvani karmani, mayi sanyasya adhyatma chetasa. Chetasa, mayi sarvani. Yeah. It's called it? Adhyatma, sanyasya adhyatma, yeah. That is sanyasya adhyatma chetasa means to offer everything to Krishna. Adhyatma chetasa. Then nirashir, nirmama, bhutva means what? Nirashir, nirmama means to completely give up one's sense of proprietorship. That is nirashir. The Papa explains very beautifully in there. So nirashir means that one has to act on the order of the master, but should not expect fruitive results. Nirmama means nothing is mine. So these two mentalities arise in the mind of a person who is situated in the mode of passion. So, nirasha, nirmama, asha and mamata, these two come in whose mind? In the person who is in passion. So Krishna is telling Arjuna, nirasha, nirmama, bhutva, become free from the sense of proprietorship and free from desire for profit. Become free from these two things. So these two are told to Krishna so that Arjuna can be made free from out of passion. And then he says, Jugata Jvara. Why did he say about that? Anybody remembers? Jvara means fever. Jugata Jvara means. Actually, Jvara, here Jugata Jvara is translated as without being lethargic. That lethargy. When I get the lethargy comes in which mode? Tamas, it's in tamas. So he says, become free from tamas, become free from passion, and then he says, sanyas adhyatma chetasa, adhyatma chetasa is in goodness. Then he says, mayi sarvani karmani, offer all these fruits to me. Then it becomes pure goodness. When you are free from ignorance, passion, and goodness, and then you are offering everything to Krishna, it becomes pure goodness. So that is one of the most important shlokas. So last week, His Grace Vijay Prabhu was discussing this one. Same matamidam nityam anutishtanti manavaha. Text number 31. The translation goes like this. Those persons who execute their duties according to my injunctions and who follow this teaching faithfully without envy become free from the bondage of fruitive actions. And then today we will discuss on 32. स्थान स्थान चेतस टीचिंग्स एंड डू नॉट फॉलो देम हाउ टू बी कंसिडर्ड डिरेक्ट ऑफ ऑल नॉलेज बी फूल्ड एंड रूइंड इन देयर एंडेवर्स फॉर परफेक्शन सो यू आर एबल टू सी सम सिमिलैरिटी बिटवीन द टू श्लोकास व्हाट कृष्णा सेइंग इन 31 एंड 32 In the first shloka he says, those who follow this faithfully without envy, they become become free from bondage. Those who, out of envy, disregard these teachings, they will have to suffer. So, here Krishna is telling us what is the benefit of taking to Krishna consciousness and what is the danger of, what is the danger that we will have to face by not taking to Krishna consciousness. In these two verses. Actually, you will find such statements made by Krishna in other places also. In Bhagavad Gita, there are 2-3 other places where Krishna makes similar statements. That if you hear me attentively and follow all these teachings faithfully, then you will achieve success. And if you disregard these teachings, you will face failure. So here especially is using the word, in both the shlokas there is one word common. Anybody can find it? What is the word used? Adhyasuyanta, anasuyanta it is. Anasuyanta means doubt only. Second shloka he uses? Adhyasuyanta. Then you can understand how much important is this particular quality. How much important is it to become free from envy. He is saying, generally people out of envy they disregard these teachings and do not follow them. Why should a person feel envious? Envious of Krishna. It is even difficult to know how can one feel envious of Krishna. In the African countries and even American countries, sometimes the book distributors, they take a picture of Radha and Krishna to show to people. When they show it to people, some people ask them, if they see the picture, they become very pleased. So immediately ask, who is this beautiful person? And he's playing on a flute, and he's having a peacock feather on his cap that is adding to his beauty. And his face is so beautiful and smiling. And they see how he is so attractive, they dress like a hero. So when they see this beauty of Krishna, they become completely sold out. And when they see Radharani standing by the side of Krishna, they say, oh, this girl is a perfect match for Krishna. That's for this beautiful boy. They feel like that when they see. So such people immediately buy books when you show them books. Then when they go to other places, then they show this picture to them. And people, as soon as they see the picture, they become so envious. Because everyone wants to be beautiful in this world. So if somebody is little more beautiful than you, you become envious of that person. But Krishna is all beautiful. They become extremely envious when they see Krishna's beauty. And when they see Radharani standing by the side of Krishna, they become all the more envious. Not only is he beautiful, he is also having a very beautiful looking girl by his side. They become all the more envious. So where is this envy coming from? Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita itself, those who are Sarga or Krishna, those are Asura age. He says, there are 2 classes of people right from the dawn of creation in this material world. There are 2 classes of people. Both are actually living beings. Both are conditioned souls. But one is Deva, another one is Asura. He says, Deva Asura age. What is the difference? How do you differentiate between a devotee and a demon? Yeah. Devotees are beyond 3 modes? At least I am not. Pure devotees are beyond 3 modes, correct. Pure devotees are beyond 3 modes. But what about devotees? Pure and devotees also. How do you differentiate between devotee and demon? Correct. There is only one criteria with which you have to find out who is a devotee, who is a demon. He says, one who obeys the scriptural injunctions is a devotee. One who does not obey the orders of God is a demon. This is the only criteria that the Shastra has laid for differentiating between a devotee and a demon. So Krishna gives very vivid description of the person who is a demon. He is also telling Arjuna, That one who is in, there are two things. One is Daivi Sampat and Asura Sampat. Daivi Sampat means all godly qualities. I will not talk about godly qualities now. I have to be here about all demoniac qualities. Now we will be discussing demoniac qualities. And then the danger of having such demoniac qualities. After we hear that, then we will discuss about what are the godly qualities that we are supposed to achieve. Then we have to discuss that will be very effective. Otherwise, if you tell the godly qualities now, you may forget it. At the end of the class, we can discuss it. So Krishna says, the Asura Sampat leads one to a very, very dangerous existence in this material world. So he begins to explain to Arjuna that these two characters are existing, Dava Bhutas are both. He is telling what are the qualities of demons. He says, Dambo, Darpo, Abhimanascha, Kreva, Parishamevacha, Ajnanam, Chapijatascha, Tartha, Sampadamasarin. He is saying, so these qualities may appear to be a little similar. Dambo means pride. Darpo means arrogance. Abhimana means conceit. Kreva is anger. Parisha is harshness. Although all these qualities appear similar, they are not similar. There is a difference. They are not the same. Dambo means somebody who doesn't have any special quality in him, but still he is proud. That means without possessing anything in him, he is unnecessarily proud. Such a person is called as Dambo. Such a quality is called as Dambo. Dambo means, like as far as a saintly person is concerned, Dambo is called as one who is more concerned about appearing saintly than being saintly. That is called as Dambo. You have seen people doing this, Dandi Gata, you see. Some people, they want to show off that they are very religious. That is called as Dambo. But actually, they are not religious. Darpa means arrogance. Their arrogance is actually the person who is Dambo, he behaves in an arrogant way. That is Darpa. Abhimana. Abhimana means somebody has really some special quality. Somebody is good in singing, or he is very wealthy, or he is very intelligent in some particular activity. But if he is very proud of his quality, it's called as Abhimana. Actually, Abhimana also should not be bad in one. Even if one is truly possessing some good quality, why? Why should you not be proud if you have some good quality? Even if one gets the first time in the class, there is no need to be proud. Because ultimately everything happens by arrangement of God. But one tends to think, I am the doer. So the Abhiman comes. Dambo, Darpo, Abhimanascha. Krodha, Alakshana, Krodha. Parushya, Mechara. Parushya is harshness in behavior. That means one is very intolerant with others, and one retaliates back like an animal. That is Parushya, Mechara. And Ajnanam, it is ignorance. Tartha, Sampada, Masarin. These are all called as Asri Sampat. These are the wealth of the degraded demons. This is where Krishna begins to describe about the qualities that the demons are possessing. And then he says, how do they behave? He says, Pravrittincha, Nivrittincha, Suras, Janana, Vidurasura, he says. They do not know what is to be done and what is not to be done. Actually, to be, what is to be done and not to be done is given in the scripture. Pravrittim, Nivrittim. What is to be done and what is not to be done. That is given in the scripture. So first of all, demons do not know the scripture. They don't understand the scripture, nor do they read it. And even if somebody happens to be a demon and he has read it and he knows it, still they are not inclined to following them. They are not interested in following them. Even if they know what is true, what is to be done. So that is when it's a pravrittim cha nivrittim cha janana vidurasura. Nashacham napichacharo nasaktam teshu vidyate. He says, they don't have any cleanliness at all. Cleanliness means external and internal, both ways. Externally, one should shave up neatly, one should take bath, one should wear a fresh dress every day, one should wash one's teeth in the morning, one should bathe at least once or twice a day. So these are all external cleanliness. But people who are demons, they are never concerned about cleanliness at all. They have, like even in Germany, they say people have, for bathing, they have a particular day, once in 3 months or so. go for bathing in shower. They pay some amount and they go to your place where shower that is available. They go there and take a shower. Actually, American culture appears to be externally very, very clean. But if you go inside and see, you will find out how unclean are they. Externally, we are attracted by the Western style of living. If you go to the offices, you find them keeping the office so clean. So you become attracted and you think these people are so clean. But if you go into the details of their life, find out, you will find how unclean are they. There are computer companies in Pune who don't have a drop of water in their latrine. They only keep tissue paper. I don't know how many of you have heard about it. Only tissue paper they keep. It's something like what you do with a newly born child. That's how they keep their body clean. And besides that, many of them wear jeans for 6 months or 1 year. They don't wash it at all. And they remove that shirt and they wear it again repeatedly for so many days. So it's unclean life externally. And for internal cleanliness, one has to chant the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. By chanting, one can cleanse the heart. So Krishna says, Na Shaucham, Na Pichacharo. And they don't follow any achara at all. Achara means proper behavior. How do you know proper behavior? That is given in the scripture, Manusmriti. If you see Manusmriti and other Dharma Shastras, they tell us what are the achara that we have to follow. For example, in a house where a Vedic lifestyle is followed, the children are obedient to the parents, father and mother, they offer respect to father and mother, and the wife is subservient to the husband, and she obeys the instructions of the husband. There are so many rules to be followed. But the demons don't like such rules. Therefore, why should woman be kept under suppression? Woman should be given full freedom. The woman should be given the equal status as a man. This is one of the arguments that the demons make. Because of it, in the modern times, you see, although women are given so much freedom and liberty to act in the way they want, ultimately it has ruined the society. Because according to Shastras, women are considered like children and they have to be kept under proper protection. Like when a female is a small child, she is protected by the father. And when she grows up, at a marriageable age, she is married to a young man and she is protected by him. And when she grows up further, her husband will not leave her and go away unless she is protected by her son. So at all times, she is to be protected. Even if a husband dies, if a woman is left as a widow, then it is the duty of the Kshatriya to protect such a woman.
You are
a skeleton. You don't have even a piece of flesh in your body. Then you took it, commandalu, and took up some celestial water and sprinkled on your body. And then you know, came back to normal body, very beautiful. Golden textured body that was tenacious and powerful, like a candlewood, to achieve such a body. Then afterwards, after performing penance for such a long time, even the demigods admired him, other demigods. Brahmaji, in front of Bhrigu Muni, Brahmaji said, even Bhrigu cannot do the pasya like you. You know, keeping your throat dry for 100 celestial years, not even drinking a drop of water. But although he did such a tapasya, what was his ultimate desire? After doing all this, he asked so many material benedictions. And then as soon as he got all the 3 words under his captivation, he went to Indraloka and he drank wine and his eyes were rolling like copper balls. How he was enjoying all the resources of the heaven to the fullest extent possible. In fact, he prayed to Brahma that all the demons, they should go to heaven. And all the people performing punya, they should go to hell. He wanted to reverse the results of the pious and impious activities. So the demons, Kamamashita Dushpuram, he says, insatiable lust, that is what they take shelter of. Let's go some more again. And what is their understanding about this universe? Anybody knows what the demons think of this universe? Yeah. Yeah. ಸತ್ಯಂ ಅತ್ರತಿಷ್ಠಂತೆ ಜಗದಾಹುರ ಈಶ್ವರಂ ಆ ಪರಸ್ಪರ ಸಂಭೂತಂ ಸುಮನ್ಯತ್ ಕಾಮಹೇತುಕಂ. ಅಕಾರ್ಡಿಂಗ್ ಟು ದಮ್ ದೋಸ್ actually there are different demons having different opinions also. Even in them there are different categories. Some of them say this world is a dream, it's unreal. What do we say, what do Vaishnavas say about this world? Do we say this world is unreal? Real but temporary. Kuchi kata? Is this world eternal?
No, it's continuous.
How many of you say this world is eternal? What should we say? We should say matter is eternal. But the manifestation of matter is temporary. So the matter may manifest in different forms. But the manifestation may lose its form and shape and then it may assume a different form. But the matter can never be destroyed. So the matter is eternal, but the manifestation of matter is temporary. So this world is a real place. Raghunath Maharaj is telling, if somebody says that this world is not a real place, you should take a stick and beat on your side and ask him whether the stick is real or not. It is real. You cannot deny it. But it is temporary. So that is the correct understanding. The manifestation, the shape, that is temporary. So according to them, they say this world is a dream, it is unreal, like we dream in the night, in the same way we are dreaming in this world. They speak like that, but they are expecting enjoying this dream in a dreamland. Papa says, how are they expecting enjoying, although they call this world as a dream, they have illicit connection with so many people, which is a great enjoy, although they call it a dream. And they say, Atmanishtam, some demons say, oh, this world has no foundation at all, it has no support, it has just come by chance. That come by itself. Jagadhavur Anishwaram, there is no God in this world. There is no God in control. Everything is happening by chance. According to them, they give an example how sometimes from a dead body, some germs come out. You see, when a body dies, some germs come out of a dead body. Or from a dead body due to perspiration, there are so many germs that are created. In the same way, in this world, everything is created by chance, by itself. Aparaspara sambhutam kimanit kama hetukam. This is kama, lust is the reason for the procreation in this world. There is no reason beyond. But the foolish people do not know the soul, which cannot be seen with eyes. Like if you take little water and sprinkle it in your rice and you keep it closed, after a few days you open it, what do you see? You will find germs. Because there is soul in water, and the Atma, it will come. It will, because everywhere in this world, Atma is there in every nook and corner of this universe. So it can take a, the Atma is present, it has to just grasp some Panchabhuta from somewhere. As soon as it gets the Panchabhuta, immediately the form can come. But these foolish people cannot see the Atma Tattva behind this material body. Prabhupada gives the example, just like a goat, if you have seen a goat having a neck, swelled neck, which is hanging from the neck portion of the goat. If a foolish person sees the goat and he thinks this is the breast of the goat and it can provide some milk, how foolish it is. Can it provide any milk? Of course it appears like a goat. There is flesh available here, but it cannot give milk. In the same way, if one thinks that this material creation has come out by itself, all the living beings have come by themselves, it is compared to that. So giving this analogy. The atheistic Sankhya people, according to them, they go behind one by one by one. The five senses of perception, then the five karmendriyas, then the tanmatras, then mind, intelligence. Then they go to the 24 elements. After that they think nature is the cause of everything. Beyond nature there is nobody. But Krishna, what does he say in Bhagavad Gita? He says, Maya Adhyakshana Prakriti. By my direction, Maya Adhyakshana. Adhyaksha is such a simple word. Maya Adhyakshana Prakriti. In my Adhyakshata, this Prakriti is moving. He's saying. Krishna is saying so clearly. So, such demons cannot see the hand of God beyond the material body. And Krishna says, Eta Drishtim Avashtabhya Nashtatmano Alpabhidyavaha Pavartante Bhavant means yudra karmanaha, chayaya jagatoshitaha. He says, having such conclusions, the demoniac, nashtatmano, they are lost to themselves completely. Alpabuddhaha, they have absolutely no intelligence, he says. And what do? Prabhayanti ugra karmanaha. Karma, vikarma, karma, you have heard, isn't it? Ugra karma means activities that are meant for the deterioration and destruction of other living beings. Ugra karma is a very dangerous type of karma, which leads to tremendous bondage of the living entity. That is called ugra karma. Prabhupada says, what are the ugra karma in Kali Yuga? Prabhupada explains. Prabhupada says, in the ancient times, people had a small piece of land to be cultivated, and they maintained cow and bull. Cow and bull are like father and mother. They maintained them nicely and led a happy life. But in the modern times, and in such homes where they would maintain such cows and bulls and maintaining land, the Shudras who are working under them, they led a happy life. Because Shudras are given the clothes to wear, and they would be given the food to eat, and they would be serving the family, they would be taking care of the garden, and they led a very happy life. In the modern times, the upper class people, if you see them working in, like if you see Bharat Forge, you go to forging companies, they have to stay near the heat for all day. You know Smithy? They all have seen Smithy, means a place where they heat the iron and other metals like that. They heat it and they have to change the shape of the metals. And they work all day like that, hitting it and working in lathes, working in planers, working in milling machines, huge machines. Of course, even those people who work in computers are no exception. These people who are working in Smithy, they are actually touching their bodies and sweating all day, torturing their bodies near the heat. And those who work in the computers, they are torturing their mind, stretching their mind up to the limits, working all day, and working like 14 hours, 15 hours a day, torturing their body. These are all actually ugra karma in Kali Yuga. Which means the meaning of ugra karma is the karma which doesn't lead to anything beneficial. Ultimately, it leads to the destruction of the body, mind, and soul. Such karma is called as ugra karma. Sabhavanti ugra karmanaha, he says, chayaya jagato hitaya. So chayaya means such people, they perform activities by which they engage in unbeneficial, horrible activities that are meant for destroying the world. They engage in that. Prabhupada explained the purpose very beautifully. He is saying the modern man, in the name of advancing in material life, he is trying to create facilities. But if you very carefully observe, every one of the facilities is meant for sense gratification. You name a facility and it is meant for sense gratification. If you see the shaving creams and the shaving lotions that they make, it appears to be a very wonderful facility for us to use. The proper explained in the purport, because of such advancement, we are torturing so many poor animals. And also, human beings are becoming more and more envious and cruel to not only animals, even to the other human beings. I don't know how many of you know about it. If you know, the shaving cream which we use, both spice and such things, they use it, they test it by using rabbits. They put it in their eyes. When they put it in the eyes have to become reddish and then blackish, and later on it will be burnt completely. When eyes are burnt, then it is a proof that the cream is perfect. That's what they come to know. So all the chemicals which we use for our body, the cosmetics, you know, they all are tested either by monkeys or rats or rabbits. They torture them like that. You should see. You all know Mercedes car. Mercedes car has a very nice, soft seat, cushion seat to sit. But if you come to know how it is prepared, you'll be, your heart will melt. They keep for the Mercedes car, they get their seat from the cows. And how those cows are killed? They make the cows stand on a platform. And from the top they pour hot boiling water on the body of the cow. And all the four directions the cow is bound with ropes. And many people stand and they beat it. Because only when the body of the cow is very hot, the skin comes out very easily. Because if it becomes cold, it is difficult to remove. So you beat it like that and the skin of the cow comes out with, and the cow crying pitiably and dies there. They take the skin and then they make a nice cushion seat to sit. So in the modern times, if you see, so many poor animals are being tortured for the man's insatiable lust for gratifying his senses. And besides that, What about man? Is he happy by creating such facilities? In fact, he has created things which are ultimately leading to his own destruction. Proper giving, this particular sucker is indirectly indicating to nuclear bombs, he is saying. Man has found nuclear bombs with which, out of his own envy, he is fighting amongst oneself, from one man to another man, one country to another country. The nuclear bombs can destroy the entire world. So these people are actually enemies to the world, because they are not working for the peace and tranquility of the people. Rather, in the name of God and advancement, they are destroying the entire world. Chayaya jagato ahitaha, it is. Jagato ahitaha means they are not meant for benefiting the world, they are rather destroying the world. He's saying. So this is the nature of demons. And he says, that is the nature of their lives, Krishna is explaining. What kind of life they lead themselves. See, how Krishna is giving different points of view of a demon's life. He is giving them collectively what do they do for others and how do they, what is their behavior. He is telling everything about the demon. Here he is saying, what is their mentality? He says, Chintam Aparimeyamcha Karayantam Upasitaha. He says, Chinta means anxiety. Chintam Aparimeyam means immeasurable. The anxiety of the demons is immeasurable. Up till what time? Till the point of death, he's saying. Kalayantam upasitaha. And he says, Kama upaboga parama yatavo iti nishchitaha. And they consider Kama upaboga. Enjoying sense gratification is the ultimate goal of their life. This is the goal of such demons. And by doing so, what happens to them? Asha pasha chater patta kama krodha parayana. For that, even to kama bhogartham anyayana artha sanchayam, he says. For the sake of satisfying their insatiable lust, they are ready to anyayana, simple word anyay. Everyone knows anyay. Anyayana artha sanchayam. They earn money by illegal means, he's saying. Today, if you see, wherever you go, everyone is planning how we can do some illegal activity by which we can either avoid expenditure or either earn more money. You go to any office, this is the path that are going on. Everyone has become a plan maker in the office nowadays. Right from morning, they are making plans, working out, doing some accounting. When I used to work in office, I used to see. Morning when people come, first 1 or 2 hours, they'd be talking about income tax and share, where to put money, how to expand money, multiply more and more. And then 11 o'clock, tea time will come and they will go for 45 minutes. Tea time. People hardly work in the offices. Most of the time, they are just making plans to expand their money. Chinta, Maparimeyam, choices. Immeasurable chinta. Always they are being talked about it. Asha, Dasha, Shatayar, Bhatna. Kama, Krodha, Parayana. Asha, Dasha, Shatayar, Bhatna means we are bound by a network of desires and hopes. Kama, Krodha, Parayana. And what Parayana do? Instead of Narayana, Parayana, they are doing Kama, Krodha, Parayana. They are always absorbing Kama and Krodha, lust and anger. And for earning money like this, they are ready to adopt any illegal means. That's what Krishna says. Actually, when one is talking about earning by illegal means, only godless man can do that. Because we know that the Paramatma is watching our activities at every point of time. Wherever you go, you all know the story how a Gurukula teacher asked his children to eat a mango in a place where nobody can see them. What did the children do? All children went to different places to eat. Somebody was hiding behind a blanket, somebody was hiding in the bush of a tree, somebody went to a room and locked himself and ate it. But one child came back to the teacher and said, there is no place where the Lord is not watching me. In fact, Shastra has explained, in the 6th canto of Bhagavatam, it is explained, there are 12 witnesses. The sun, the moon, the earth, the land, and the water, the demigods, and the Paramatma himself, and the Disha of the directions, and anything else. Fire, yeah, fire also. Fire, like that about 12 witnesses are mentioned who are always watching us. So one cannot perform any illegal activity at any place. Ultimately, even if one escapes from all the material witnesses, the Paramatma is watching. The Paramatma is always watching, so no one can escape. But these people have no concept about Paramatma. First of all, they have no concept about themselves, that they are not the body, they are the soul. They don't even know that. So they are very bold in Anyayana Arta Sanchayan. Anyayana, by Anyaya means, by illegal means they are ready to earn money. And when they earn money, how does their mind work? That also Krishna explains. Idam Adya Maya Labdham, Imam Prakse Manoratham. Now today I have so much money with me. Idam Adya Maya Labdham, this much money I earn today. Idam Adya Maya Labdham, Imam Prakse Manoratham. Then let me make plans how I can earn more money tomorrow. You say they make plans. Idamasti Idamasime, Bhavishyati Punardhana. Now this much I have today, but I will work hard and make plans by which I can expand this money. Bhavishyati Punardhanam. Punardhanam means I will again get more and more money. They say they keep on seeing money and making plans. And then he says, when they earn more and more money and try to become wealthy, naturally they get enemies. When they get enemies, in this world, a common man who is very eager to advance in materialistic way of life, he is bound to get enemies in this world. Because if you are having a target in your life that I want to achieve this one, then you are working towards that goal. But there are many others who are also equally competent, who are also working towards that goal. So you want to become the wealthiest man. There are 100 others in the world who also want to become wealthy. So there is a cutthroat competition. And in that competition, sometimes somebody, by the will of Providence, somebody else may achieve your goal, and you may not achieve it. Then what comes?
Envy.
Burning envy out of frustration. Heart starts burning with envy. And in that envy, sometimes in businesses, people go to the extent of killing the other person using gundas or something. You must have seen probably in movies. But movies actually show what is happening in the world. So some people even put off a person like that. Hato maya hato satyo hanishya chapranapi. This is the plan is Krishna is saying. So they say, this is my enemy, and as long as this person is there, I will not get fame, name and prestige. I will not be able to achieve my goal. That's my finisher. I have to do something. You must be knowing, even in government circles, people say, oh, this person is not cooperating, we will transfer him to a very far away place. Put him in Andaman Nicobar Islands. It's like that. They do that. This kind of attitude is there everywhere. Even in office, when somebody sees a very, very young person, he has come and he is too brilliant, and everyone is after him, people are surrounding him, and so superior is not cared for. What does superior do? They throw him out and put him in some other remote office. And from there he will get all the work done and he will take the name. You can see that. So people have enemies and they try to put out the enemies. Ato maya hata shatru hanishe chapranati. Hishavaham ahambogi siddhoham balavansati. He thinks I am the enjoyer, I am the Ishwara, I am the controller, siddhoham, I am perfect in all my things that I am doing. So just consider this. Even a man who is reasonably rich, he thinks there is nobody richer than me in the world. That is the kind of illusion a man is in. I am the most happiest man, Balavan, I am most strong. Sithi, I am very, very happy. Adyo abhijanamanasmi ponyosi hadrishomaya, he is asking. I am the most wealthiest man and I am surrounded by all aristocratic people who are also wealthy like me. Who is a person in the world? Konyo, he is asking. Konyo si sadrishomaya. Who can be like me? Who can lead a happy life like me? Rakshay Dasyami Modishir. He is saying, okay, now I will give in charity and my name and fame will spread to all directions. Krishna says, such a person, iti ajnana vimohitaha. This is how the demons become completely bewildered by money. So Krishna very beautifully in different directions he is discussing about the nature of the demons. And he is telling, even in case they are doing some so-called spiritual activity, that also they do it only namesake. He is saying, Yajante nama yajnyate dambena avidipurvakam. If they do some yajna, that is avidipurvakam. They will not follow the scriptures. They will concoct their own method of performing some ritual. Or they will make some common man to be God. They call him, he is so-and-so, he is incarnation of God. So we worship him. But why should you call him incarnation? Is it given in any scripture that they will not follow? So such people, that's why they are called, they are lost to themselves. Sometimes they call, I am God. Sometimes they say, why do you bother about God? You don't have to worry about God. Just forget about God. Just do your work and you will get everything. So they consider that by working hard, you get all the results. But actually, according to the Shastra, you know what Shastra says? If you are getting wealth, or you are getting property, or you are getting name and fame in this world, do not think that you have achieved them by your hard-earned endeavor. It's not due to that. It is simply due to your past good activities. Janma, Aishwarya, Shrita, Shri, all these things. Your high birth, your opulences, your beauty, your wealth, and your property and fame, name, everything comes as a result of your past karma only. Then you ask a question, what about my present hard work that I am putting in? See, if I don't work, will I get all these things? You will get. You can see people in a college, sometimes a person doesn't work much. With little work, he gets a very high mark. On the other hand, another person with very, very hard work, he fails in the paper. So it's very, very amazing how it is. Even the intelligence is awarded according to one's previous activities. But these demons, they don't have any understanding of karma. Nor do they have any faith in previous life or the present life or future life. Nor do they have faith that one can fall down to lower species. They just believe that you do the work and then you will get the result. So in order to do work, they work very, very hard in order to earn more and more and more money. In the course of working like that, they torture their bodies. They torture many other people also in the same way. They don't have any faith in the karma. Besides that, they don't accept the arrangement of God. They try always a crooked means by which they can achieve success. For example, Ravana, he wanted to go to heavenly planets. But he told his people that I will try to arrange a staircase for you by which you can directly climb up and go to heavenly planets without having to do any pious activities. This is the Ravana mentality. Of course, that Ravana lived long ago, but today also there are many Ravanas who want some artificial ways or crooked means by which they can achieve the same result. They don't want to accept the proper path. That is why they call us Ashuchi Vratav. Ashuchi Vratav means they keep unclean vows. Even Prahlad Maharaj, when he is telling his father, he says, Materna Krishna Parato Sutova Vidopi Patyeta Griha Vratanam. He says, you are determined. Ashuchi Vratav, he says, you are Griha Vratanam. He says, you are determined to lead a materialistic way of life. He is telling his father. So your buddhi is not fixed up on Krishna's feet. He is telling Hiranyakashipu. So in that way, they are taking in unclean vows. So there are many more verses. I will not say very painful to hear these verses. So many other verses explaining about the demoniac qualities. But I will go to the last two, three very important verses in Chikinjap, which Krishna explains. He says, Tanaham Vishatat Kuran Samsaresh Naradaman Chipami Adasam Mashupan Asri Shiva Yonisho. Now Krishna has come to the point where he is telling, my dear Arjun, these demoniac people are behaving in this way, completely rejecting God and living such a way of life like animals. What do I do for them? What is the result of such a behavior? That Krishna is explaining. Tan aham dishata kruran. Dishata again is envy. Dishata kruran and cruel. Those are envious and those are mischievous and cruel. What do I do for them? Samsaration, naradhaman, and those who are lowest among the mankind in this world. Chipami adasam mashuman, asrishi avyanishu. I cast them down into lower and lower forms of species. So this loka goes to show that avoiding a body is a special prerogative of Krishna himself. Of course, the demon may say, I don't believe in God, I will not surrender to God, nor will I follow the scriptures. And he can, as long as he is alive in a particular body. But as soon as he dies, the prerogative of awarding the next body is in the hands of Krishna. That is the hands of Krishna. So no one can escape. In fact, in Srimad Bhagavatam it is explained that how the child and how the Paramatma is awarding a particular body to a particular soul in a particular womb. Karmana deva netrena chandur desa upapate. According to one's previous karma, the Paramatma is carrying the soul and he is putting him in a particular womb where the child is born. And the child, even the mother doesn't know how the child grows in the womb. Nobody knows how the child develops hands and legs and face and eyes. And then child understands, I am in a dark region. I am alone. There is no one to protect me or save me. Everyone needs protection in this world. The child is praying to the Lord, oh Lord, please save me. It's such a dangerous place. I am in a cave. And there are so many germs biting my body. And there are so many acids that are causing bruises in my body. Please kindly protect me from this predicament. He is praying. If you protect me, I will certainly come out and become your devotee. This is how the child prays to the Lord when he is in the womb. But as soon as he comes out, he is asking, where is God? Show me God. Begin to ask like that. So, the Lord is the one who is putting everyone in a particular arrangement. So it's the arrangement of the superior energy of the Lord, Lord himself. But the demons cannot see that because of their being blinded by karma. And then he says, then the next order he says further, Asrim Yoni Mapanna, Muda Janmani Janmani, he says, Asrim Yoni Mapanna, after achieving such a demoniac life, what happens to them? Muda Janmani Janmani, they remain grossly ignorant life after life, Janmani Janmani. Mama Prapteva Kaunteya. Without having achieved me, appropriate means without achieving me, they go into lower and lower and lower species of life. The proper explains the purport that generally God is called as all merciful, isn't it? Krishna or God is called as all merciful. That he is never merciful to the demoniac. When somebody is demoniac like this, causing harm to himself and the other living beings, and becoming atheist of God, God is never merciful to them. He gives them various of punishment and puts them in lower, lower and lower phases of life. To the extent of becoming dogs or hogs or such animals. So whenever you see a dog or a hog, you should remember this shloka. So you must understand that the demoniac people have been cast down to this level. Whenever I see a dog or a hog, I feel so pity, so much compassion I feel when we see them. Because these are certainly demoniac species who rebelled against God's authority and the scriptures and caused a great harm to the other living beings as well as themselves, who achieved these lower forms of species like that. So one may, demons may argue, but if you are saying God is all merciful, then why should he not be merciful to demons? Somebody may argue like that. Because he is not merciful to demons, he cannot be considered all merciful. No, because the Lord giving such a lower form of species for these demons is also another aspect of his mercy only. Because the Lord killed Ravana, he killed Hiranyakashipu, he killed Kamsa, but in all the cases they got liberated. So the Lord knows what is best for everyone. So Lord, whatever the Lord is awarding to a person, that the Lord knows it is best for this particular person. That's what the Lord is awarding. So after saying all these things, then Krishna is telling how a person becomes a demon. This is very important for us to know. Because although we are not demons, we may become demoniac. That is a possibility. But how can one avoid becoming a demon? So he is telling Arjuna, Trividam Narakasyedam Yaram Nashanam Atmanaha. Envy, Kama Krodha Lobha. Lust, anger and greed, these three things. Actually many acharyas say about these three things to be very great danger in one's spiritual life. Kamaha krodha chaloba chatehe distanti daskaraha. Daskaraha means thieves. Jnana ratna apaharaya tasma jagrata jagrata. He says, one acharya says like this, he says, Kamaha krodha chaloba, these three things, who are they? They are actually very distant to Dhaskaraha. They are not standing in your body. They are exactly like a thief. What do they do? Jnana Ratna Apaharaya. They will steal away the knowledge that you are having. Tasmat Jagrata Jagrata. Therefore, be very, very careful. They are saying. So we should be very carefully protecting ourselves from this three dangerous doors to hell. Because when one becomes angry, his entire body becomes polluted, Papa says. When one becomes angry, his entire body becomes polluted. So we should check these three propensities. Greed, lust and envy. Actually the first thing that comes is lust. And when lust is unsatisfied, then it leads to greed and anger. To other two things. These three are very, very vivid subject matter. I will not talk about these three, lust, greed and envy, because we will be talking in future about these things more elaborately. And after saying, giving a clue about how a person becomes a demon, then Krishna says, Yes, Shastra Vidamutsrujya, Vartate Kamakaradana, Nasasdi Mavapnuti Nasukam Naparangatim. He says, those people who Shastra Vidhi, who give up the Shastra Vidhi, they don't follow. Vartate Kamakaradha. Actually the word Kamakaradha means one who knows what is the truth. What is to be done and what is not to be done. Knowingly, deliberately he indulges in the wrong activities. Such a person is called as Kamakaradha. Such people he says, Nasulatim Navapnoti. They cannot achieve any perfection in their life. Nasukam Naparangatim. In this world also they will not be happy. So you heard about the demons till now. Are they happy in this world? They are not happy in this world also. And the next world are they happy? Next world also they are more miserable than now. So, Krishna says such people who give up the Shastra Vidhi, they cannot be happy. You see, all the Vedas, they are so, the Vedas are called as Parokshavad. Why they call as Parokshavad? Because the Vedas also promise lot of sense gratification. Lot of happiness in the beginning stages. Like you chant this particular mantra, you can beget a child. You chant this mantra, you'll get a beautiful wife or a husband, or you can go to heavenly planets. So this is called as Parokshavad, because they are indirectly directing a person to come to God. So a person may come to the Vedas to gain some material benefit in the beginning. Just like a child who is hesitating to take the medicine, or who is very adamant not to take the medicine. What does the mother or father do? They give them sugar candy. They show them sugar candy. Please take this. Would you like to have this sweet? They ask the child. The child is coming running and they give the medicine also. And they give medicine and sugar candy, both they give. In the same way, the Vedas promise so many enjoyments in the beginning stages that one can go to heavenly planets, one can get so many material benefits. That is called Parakshava. But ultimately, the one at least becomes a follower of the Vedas, then he becomes a Deva. Instead of being Asuri, it becomes a Deva, because he has agreed the scriptures that are given by God. And after that, when he becomes more and more mature, he can come to the platform of Krishna consciousness, when he becomes more mature. So, one who rejects the Shastra Vidhi, Tasmat, Ya Shastra Vidhi Mutsrujya, when one gives up, then he becomes a miserable man. And then he concludes the chapter by telling about Tasmat Shastra Pramanante. Karya Akari Vastato. So my dear Arjun, whatever is to be done and not to be done, that you should know from Shastra Praman. Tasmat Shastra Pramanante. Karya Akarya Vastato. Nyatva Shastra Vidhanoktam Karma Kartam Viharhasi. He's saying, one should understand the Vidhi Vidhan that is given in the Shastras and accordingly act. Then one can become free from such a mentality, he says. So this is similar to these two shlokas. You remember the last two which I read now. I was saying about Yes, Shastra Vidhi Mutsrujya. One shloka is saying, those who give the Shastra Vidhi away, those who don't follow, they cannot get happiness. And the next shloka he says, those who follow the Shastra Praman, they can achieve everything. So these are similar. So these are the demonic qualities from which we have to save ourselves. So when you get time, leisurely you can go through the 16th chapter, which talks about divine and demonic qualities. And we can find out where are we, which are the qualities that we have, whether we have Dambha, or Darpa, or Abhimana, or Krodha, or Parushya, or Ajnana. We can check out all these qualities in us, and whatever qualities of demons that we have in our heart, we should remove them. And the qualities of transcendentalists or devotees, are completely opposite to these qualities. That Krishna is explaining in the beginning of the chapter. He says, Abhayam Satvasham Samsiddhim. He says, Abhayam means they are fearless people. Actually, the divine qualities which Krishna explains, they are meant for different orders and status, different ashramas. The first few qualities he is explaining it for sannyas ashram. Abhayam is this. Abhayam means they should be fearless. Even while going into a forest, a sannyasi should never be fearful. He should think Krishna is protecting me. He should not worry whether tiger will come or bear will come and eat me. He should think Krishna is always protecting me. He should be fearless. And he should know the Paramatma is in the heart and he knows what is and how to take care of me. So one should never feel alone. Or one should not think, oh, I have left my family members, how will they manage, whether they will be able to earn money, or I have to help them, or without me will they be able to survive. This kind of fear one should not have when one is in sannyasada. That is called abhayam. Sattva samshuddhim, purification of one's existence. For a sannyasi, it is said, a sannyasi should be completely detached from wealth and women, these two things. Mahaprabhu says, sannyasi should never look upon wealth and women for sense gratification. What is speak of enjoying them, even looking on them with attitude of gratifying his senses. Instead, he can better commit suicide, he says. The sannyasi should have such a status. Abhayam sattva samshuddhim. Sattva samshuddhim means purification of one's existence. Jnana yoga vyavasthiti, and the sannyasi also has a duty of going to the house of the householders and give them knowledge about Krishna consciousness. One of the most important qualities of a sannyasi. Jnana yoga vyavasthiti. Like Shubhadeva Goswami would go from house to house and he would stay only for a time when the cow is being milked and he would give them knowledge. So sadhu should feel compassion, give knowledge to others. Abhayam yoga abhayam. Abhayam sattva samshuddhim, jnana yoga vyavasthiti, danam damascha yajnascha, svadhyaya tapa adhyam. These are all qualities of grihasthas. He's saying danam. Grihasthas should give dan, charity, for the sadhus. Actually, the brahmacharis or sannyasis, they are considered like children of the grihasthas, and they are being maintained by them. So the grihasthas are the ones who maintain the other ashramas. So danam, they should give charity. Damascha, they should control the senses and use it only for Krishna conscious purposes. Yajnascha, and doing yajna is, I'm performing Agnihotra and all, but in Kali Yuga Agnihotra is not possible. Such sacrifices are very difficult to perform. So they should perform Sankirtan Yajna. Like Jayadev Prabhu is facilitating all of you to come and perform Sankirtan Yajna here. That is the duty of Grihastha. Danam Damascha Yajnascha. And then the next three qualities are for Brahmacharis. Swadhyaya Tapa Arjavam. Swadhyaya is the study of the Vedas. Studying the Vedas systematically. Brahmachari should have no connection with women. And he should systematically study the Vedas and understand them by staying in an ashram. Swadhyaya Tapa. Tapa is for the Vanaprasthas. Tapa is austerity. They should perform austerity by mind, by body, and by words. They should perform tapasya. Arjavam is simplicity. Simplicity is for all the ashrams. Simplicity means no duplicity. Being very straightforward and leading a simple life. Actually, simplicity can be at all levels. Simplicity of dress, simplicity of speech, and straightforwardness. And he says, Swadhyaya Tapa Arjavam. Ahimsa Satyam Akrodha. Ahimsa is non-violence. One should not kill animals and one should not stop their progressive life. That is ahimsa. Satyam, one should be truthful. Especially one should be truthful with respect to scriptures. One should not distort or construe the meaning of scripture. Instead, one should just learn from the scripture as it is and present it without distorting it. So one should learn from the spiritual master and purely present the scriptures. That is called satyam. Ahimsa, satyam, akrodha. One should never get angry. One should be very cool. Do you know these two qualities of relationship? To the degree to which you are forgiving another person, to that degree, this is what I think Bhishma Pitamaha says, if one wants to be, what is the opposite quality to forgiveness? We were reading, he says, If one wants to become humble, then one has to have a tendency to forgive others and not become upset at the faults of others. Generally, our tendency is to easily become upset. I told you to do like this. Why did you do like this? And we just throw words, and those words are like a broken glass bottle, which can never be made again. If you throw a mud pot down, it breaks. Again, you cannot bring it back to shape. Can you put some water and mix it and make it again? You cannot. If it is a burnt pot, you cannot do anything to that. So one should be very careful before one exhibits anger. In fact, one should learn to avoid anger altogether, especially in dealings with devotees. So it is ahimsa, satyam, akrodha, tyaga, what is it? Ahimsa, satyam, akrodha, tyaga, shantar, apaishanam. Tyaga is actually detachment. One should be detached. Detachment is actually a concomitant result of properly performing spiritual life. Tyaga, shanti, one should be peacefully situated. Apaishanam, one should not find fault with others. Of course, purpose is, we should not find fault with someone who is not truly having a fault. But we should not hesitate to call a spade a spade. You know there is a saying in English, call a spade a spade. So if somebody is a cheater, we should not think, you know, how can I find fault with them? I cannot call him a cheater. We should call a cheater a cheater. We should not hesitate. So apaishana means actually finding fault with someone who doesn't deserve to be chastised. So he is saying apaishana. And then he says ahimsa satyam akrodha tyaga shantir apaishanam. Then he says daya bhuteshu. One should have a great compassion for the suffering souls of this material world. It is jiva daya. And that is why one is preaching. Why should we preach? We should feel a great compassion for the suffering souls. Daya bhuteshu. Daya bhuteshu alolukthvam mardavam hira chapalam. He is saying one should be modest, one should be gentle, one should be having a steady determination. He is saying all these qualities. And then he says, tejaha. Tejaha means vigor. This is what the kshatriyas. But she has the vigor and power. At the same time, kshatriyas also should have the quality of kshama. Because sometimes kshatriyas should have the vigor to fight, but when somebody is surrendering to them, they should forgive them. Tejas kshama, dhuti shaucham, akrodho nati manita. He says they should have fortitude, they should have cleanliness. And the nati manita, this is what the shudras are saying. Shudras, they should not expect prestige, and they should not pretend to be of a very high order. They should be always humble. They should be their nature. And then what is the other quality? So these are all sampadam devim, Krishna is saying. These are all the qualities of... So these are all actually transcendental qualities. 26 qualities Krishna is giving like this, to which the devotees possess. So this is there in the beginning of the chapter. So Krishna so vividly describes about divine qualities and demonic qualities. So we can sit patiently when we get time and analyze our own lives. How do we behave with others? How do we behave with other people? How many demonic qualities we have? How many divine qualities we have? Maybe we can make a list and find out wherever we have fault, whatever mistakes we have, we can correct them. So gradually we have to become very, very divine. That is very important. Otherwise we cannot attract the attention of Krishna. Because Krishna himself has told all these things. It's not that he is unaware of these things. He only tells all these things. So we have to get rid of the demoniac qualities. I was especially reading this shloka, was very impressive to me. Dambo Darpa Abhimanasya Krodha Parashamelta. I have many of these qualities. Pride, arrogance, conceit, anger, harshness and ignorance. So very, very beautiful Krishna is giving. So now coming back to our shloka. What is the shloka number? 32. Those who out of envy disregard his teachings and do not follow them are to be considered the rest of all knowledge, be fooled and ruined in their endeavors for perfection. Actually, the Lord has made a wonderful arrangement in this world. Although when we read about demons, we become afraid how they are going to suffer and how they are presently suffering. The Lord is certainly not a cruel person. He has given us devotees with whom we can associate with. He has given us temples, he has given us deities to take darshan, he has given us a shastra. Shastra is like a manual, just like any appliance you get, like you get a scooter or you get a cooker. Along with that, what do they supply? Supply a manual. Shastra is like manual. God has given us a manual by using which this manual is for knowing how to use this particular component. What is this component? Human form of life. So along with the human form of life, he has given Brahmakshara Samudbhava. The Shastras have been breathed out by the personality of God himself. It says, Karma Brahmodbhavam Vidhi Brahmakshara Samudbhavam. Lord himself is giving the Shastras. So beautifully Krishna is speaking. When I was reading some other verses, I was so inspired. When I was reading this one, Kama Paboga Parama Yetavat Iti Nishchitaha. He says, they are determined. I'm thinking that Kama Upaboga is the ultimate goal of life. How sweetly Krishna speaks. Such a wonderful knowledge he is giving us. So by reading it, it should affect our heart. It should touch our heart, this knowledge which Krishna is giving us. And we should practically take it very seriously in our minds. The Shastras are there, deities are there, devotees are there, prasadam is there. Everything is there too. Take us back to Krishna. All these things will carry us back to the spiritual world. There is so much facility in the world. But demons, because of their independent enjoying mentality, they are blind to these things. So the duty of devotees is to first of all cultivate themselves and become very, very pure-hearted. So that is what is expected of devotees. They have to become very pure-hearted. And they have to become very compassionate to go out in the world and reveal this truth to the people. Many of them are even unaware of these things. Some other time we can discuss about what are the resultant reactions that the demons get after they die. These are all things which Krishna explains when they are living. After they die, what do they get? We will discuss at another occasion. And discuss what kind of... There is an exclusive chapter in Srimad Bhagavatam. It explains about Kumbhipak. And it explains about Tamishra, Andhatamishra, Raurava. In a planet called Raurava, there are animals called the Rurus. Prabhupada says these Rurus are such... The Rurus look like something like a crocodile or something. Actually, that Ruru is not available in the material world, Prabhupada. It's not available in this particular Martyaloka. We have not seen. But he says those Rurus are more envious than the snakes and scorpions, he's saying. Actually, the most envious animal beings are only snakes and scorpions. The Rurus are the most envious. And those Rurus, they pull out the intestines and different parts of the body of such envious people. When you read about... How they will get the reaction? Oh, those demons who are killed by Krishna, they are very special demons. They are not ordinary demons. We are talking about Kali Yuga demons. Kali Yuga demons, even if they get cold, they catch fever, they get even such problems. But Hiranyakashipu was such a demon that he could cut over even the demigods. He could control the scorching heat of the sun. He could change the seasons. He could do those things. But today's demons, they can't do those things. They have no power. Today's demons are petty demons. They will get punishment, very severe punishment. So Krishna kills demons who are very special. Pardon me, comes. That is a different story. Krishna actually, like Jaya and Vijay, came down to fight with Krishna to fulfill his desire of fighting. So those demons actually were planned to come. Of course, through those demons also we learn many things. You see the life of Hiranyakashipu, or Ravan, or Kamsa. We can see how we should not behave. From Duryodhana's life, we know how we should not behave by hearing about Duryodhana. Same way. So he's explaining out of envy. I was amazed when I saw these two shlokas. The word abhyasu yantra is there, and he's talking about envy in both the shlokas he's talking. So one should never be envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Actually, our envy for Lord is exhibited by our envy for other living beings. First of all, we should learn, cultivate, to become free from envy for other beings. Especially amongst our devotees also, as I was telling you, the competitive spirit or the competitive mentality, it may come in any field. We have all come to spiritual life. So we have come to Krishna consciousness and we are in a proper shelter. Still, our materialistic propensities may come even into spiritual life. After coming here, if some other devotee is glorified, what should we do? What should we do? That is Shesh. Shesh is there. Practicing is it. Shesh can answer this question. What should we do if some other devotee gets lot of fame and prestige? If Guru Maharaj glorifies some other devotee or some other devotee is greatly glorified, what should we do? We should feel very happy. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was showing the Mahaprakash Leela, one by one devotees were coming. And every time a devotee was given special mercy, all the other devotees would shout, Haribol, Haribol, and they would be so joyous. In fact, no devotee thought, what about me? When will others know about me? Nobody thought like that. Everyone was completely open hearted, they were glorifying. So we should also, when other devotees are glorified, we should also glorify them. Actually, why we are talking about it so elaborately? Because this tendency is very difficult to give up. When others are glorified, what do we do? We become envious. We think, why not me? What about me? I am doing even better than that person. And I am not glorified. Probably people are unaware and I have to more loudly broadcast. You feel like that. So that is one reason why everyone is most often talking about themselves. You have seen in this world, everyone wants to attract love towards himself. Everyone is seeking love in this world. They say, oh, it was so difficult to perform. You know, a common man cannot perform it. Then how did you perform? That you can understand how. That means I am not a common man, I am a superman. Like that. People behave like that. And when others get the envy, how it comes? That means you are asking for something and there are many people asking for something and somebody else is given the reward. Then you become very, very envious. And when you get envy, if you are a devotee and you get envy, you can really not chant your own properly. So Hare Krishna will be bogus chanting. You cannot chant properly. It's very, very difficult with the envious heart. By cursing a devotee or envying another devotee, you cannot chant properly. So that envy for other devotee is actually envy for Krishna. Because every living being is a part and parcel of Krishna. So envying the part and parcel is also envying Krishna. Because he is also part and parcel of Krishna. So when you envy him, then you are envying Krishna. So Krishna will never be pleased with us. So here he is saying that we should not envy, we should give up that envy. So Prabhupada says even if a devotee is an illiterate or is uneducated or not very advanced in many kalas, he cannot sing very beautifully or he cannot play mridanga beautifully or he cannot give big classes or he is not beautiful looking, he has a lame body or he is not very well read in shastras or he is a very, very simple person. These are all actually no disqualification in spiritual life. One can have all these disqualifications. Still, if one is non-envious, he can reach Krishna. That is the point. But if one has some other qualities and he becomes proud unnecessarily and he becomes envious of somebody else in spiritual life, so the person cannot achieve Krishna. So Krishna is mentioning this word twice in both the shlokas, that one should be non-envious. In many other places Krishna says, anybody can quote shlokas? Idam tutai kushyatamam prakshami anasuyave. He says, so my dear Arjun, I am giving you this knowledge because you are non-envious of me. That's why I am giving you this knowledge. And then he says, Bhakta Vasmi Sakha Cheti Rahasyam Charitam. You are my Bhakta and you are my Sakha. That is why I am giving this Rahasyam, Bhukshyam. This knowledge I am giving you. Any other shloka anybody knows? Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna talks about envy. There are 2-3 more shlokas in Bhagavad Gita where he talks about envy. So one should become non-envious. So these 2 shlokas, very beautifully, Krishna is concluding after saying about Karma Yoga. Because after this, he is going to talk about Kama. Because Kama is the root of the other 2, greed and Lobha and Krodha. Krodha is the first, the Krodha comes. After when the anger comes, you become frustrated. Due to frustration, you want more and more. The greed comes Kama is lust. Kama is lust. After the lust comes, the Krodha and Lobha, they both come after that. So elaborately Krishna will discuss about lust. From 36th text onwards, we'll be discussing. I think 1 or 2 more left in between. That we'll discuss next week. And then we will discuss on lust from 36th verse onwards. Hare Krishna. Question?
In the previous shloka,
more than more. You become more than yourself.
Yeah.
Any specific reason for that?
Actually, the karma, krodha and moha, these both, these three are considered by all acharyas, even if you see the quote which I was saying was in Shankaracharya. Kama, krodha, moha, chaya. These three gates to hell, which is Shankaracharya, suppose I was telling now. Tishtanti Daskaraha, I was telling. So even in our previous acharyas, talk of these three things to be very prominent. One can overcome these three things, other things are very easy to overcome. That is what I'm saying. Anyway, also, yeah. But these three things are the most difficult. Lust, pride, and, sorry, lust, anger, and greed. These three things are only prominently mentioned. Actually, envy is nowhere mentioned because, of course, out of envy, Ichha Dvesha, these two things. One is desire, and for another thing is envy. These two are the reasons for which the living is coming into this world. But generally, we see that these three are the ones that are quoted everywhere. Even in Bhagavatam also, these three. I was reading, which canto? Maybe it comes in... 9th canto, I think. It's talking about these three things. I don't know how, by overcoming these three things, how can one become free from envy? But one actually becomes. If one can overcome these three enemies, then one becomes free from all others. In fact, Vijay Prabhu was there in the temple. He was telling that even if one knows the demonic qualities in one, you cannot get rid of them one by one. It is not possible. He said all we have to do is to simply become a good devotee. Then all the qualities will be wiped out, bad qualities, automatically, in one shot. Like, you know, we know Kama, Krodha, Madha, Lobha, Moha, Matsari, we have six things. It's not that one by one we become free. You actually work for becoming a devotee, and at one point you see that all are wiped out, completely. We all parallelly reduce this, all these. Actually, these six things, they arise out of the anarthas. But the previous anarthas, like we were talking during the chanting lecture, Hriday Dorbalyam, Asat Krishna, and Aparad. And the fourth one is Tattva Vibhrama. Because of that, these six things come. Kama, Krodha, Madha, Lobha, Moha, Matsari. So if you understand those four things and you work on them and become a devotee, from those anarthas, then these six things will be wiped out completely. They all go away automatically. We cannot get rid of them one by one. That's why Krishna consciousness is a beautiful process. Without your own knowledge, you simply become attracted to Krishna and to the chanting and to the process, and you will see that gradually one becomes detached from all the things which Krishna said in 16th chapter, and one will become more and more purer and purer and purer like that. Any other question anybody else have? Yeah? She can ask. We can talk in the temple also. Yeah. This question was also posed by Devahuti to Kapila, similar question. You see, for example, somebody has done a bad activity in the past, due to which, according to his destiny, he is presently put in a bad situation. Again, he does bad activities now, because of the situation forcing him. So then he gets further reaction in the next life. You see, one becomes more and more bound in the network of karma and karma fal. So he gets bound up in the karma bandhana like that. Similarly, so for such a person, that means where does the cycle of birth and death end? And also three modes are constantly acting. So the free will is always there. The beautiful example is given. But when one boards the aeroplane. So you are boarding aeroplane here and you want to land in Bombay. From here to Bombay, when you're traveling the plane, you can do whatever you want. Isn't it? In the plane, you can create some disturbance in the plane. If the air hostess is coming, you pick up a quarrel with her, and then everyone gets disturbed, and as soon as you get down, people arrest you. Or you can steal somebody's purse, and you'll be arrested as soon as you get down from the plane. Or you can talk to your neighbor about your business, he will talk about his business. Then as soon as you get down, you might have got a very nice business customer for you. And then you can expand your business when you get out of the plane. In the same way, although you are forced to be born in a particular body, and you are destined to have certain facilities only, still, while undergoing those sufferings or those enjoyments in a particular life, one has the free will to do whatever he wants. Like within the plane, you have the free will to do whatever you want, right? Similarly, when you are being carried by the previous karma, according to Vivekananda, may have born in a particular family. Like somebody may be born in a slum. And a person born in a slum may not have facility to become a devotee. But still the temple is right next to the opposite side. If you want, you can come to temple and take darshan and bow down to God, and you can make advancement in spiritual life. Somebody born in a rich family has more facility to become a devotee, but he can misuse also. That's the same facility. So the independence is always there. That is never taken away. But according to Prarabdha, the facilities are awarded. Somebody is born in a rich family, somebody is born in a poor family, somebody is more intelligent, somebody is less intelligent, somebody is different things like the Janma, Aishwarya, Shruta, Shri, all these things. Different things are coming according to destiny. So a devotee, what should be his consciousness? A devotee should know, oh, Krishna is awarding all these things in my life. He has awarded me. Whatever resources he has given me, I should use it to the best. For example, how I began learning in my life, personal life, about how to not envy other devotees. We all have this problem. So when we see other devotees, some devotee is a very good speaker, and some devotee is a very good singer, some devotee is a very good cook. But when we see these qualities in devotees, we should know that these are all awarded according to their previous lives. These are awarded to them. So, and it is awarded by whom? Krishna himself. Krishna only awards these things to them. That means if I am envying that they should not have this quality, that means we are thinking that Krishna's arrangement is wrong. Isn't it? We are envying Krishna directly. So why should we envy? So we should know that this is awarded by Krishna. Krishna has told them to do. You remember I was telling you the example earlier, in a music party, music troupe, somebody is told to play violin, somebody is told to play mridangam, somebody is told to play karta, somebody is told to play another instrument. So about 10 people are there, and there is a music director, isn't it? He's waving his hands and telling, now you play, he touch the violin. And all others have to keep quiet, and that person should play. And then he's telling the other person, now you play. And then everyone has to parallelly play, he says, all of you play together. In the same way, spiritual master tells us, now this devotee, he's empowering a particular devotee. He should become so powerful in this particular activity. And then that person becomes very powerful, and he's doing wonders. But if another devotee sees him and becomes envious, oh, he's having so much power, and he's preaching or he's doing book distribution, then I will show my power now. Without the order of the spiritual master, he starts doing things whimsically. Then he will only create disturbance. Like if violin is told to play, you play violin. And the mridangam person starts singing, dum-dum-dum-dum-dum, he starts beating. Then everything will be ruined. Isn't it? We should do when we are told to do. So we should just accept the order of spiritual master, and whatever empowerment he has given for us, so that we should go ahead. We should not become envious of others like that. So this should be the nature of a devotee. So if you always see that Krishna is awarding these qualities to people, you will never become envious. Krishna wants him to be so great in a particular activity, why should he become envious? Hare Krishna, will you keep in 5 minutes? So you all tolerated the different qualities of demons, hearing it. Actually very unpalatable to hear, but very important to hear. Because we should know all these things so that we don't fall a victim of any of these bad qualities. Katas, who is having Katas?